3:6. For those who like to take notes, we're going to end in chapter 4:15. Jars of clay for his glory. 2 Corinthians 3:6, coming from the old school King James. Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit? For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved in stone, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious has no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remains is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, little g, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many rebound to the glory of God. There's an awful lot wrapped up in that section. I read the chapter 3 section because I started at chapter 4, but there's this word in there, therefore. And whenever you open your Bible, you feel like God's leading you to read a section, and you start reading, and the first word is therefore, stop. Go back. There's something important that preceded what you're about to read. In order to get the context of what you're about to read, you have to read the piece before. So I read the piece in chapter 3, and it talked about when Moses went up to get the table of the law from the Lord, the glory of the Lord came down upon the mountain in such glory that when Moses came down off the mountain, he reflected the glory of the Lord, much like the moon reflects the earth's sunlight, to the point where the people shielded their eyes and turned away and hid their face from Moses. And there's a piece in here that said that we speak plainly. So I'm going to speak plainly for a second. They hid their face and they turned away. And they're like, we can't take that glory. For the love of God, cover your face, man. You're blinding us. And they kind of missed it a little bit. But he's like, Lord? And God said, yeah, sure, cover your face. So he put a veil over his face. And whenever he went up on the mountain and came down, he'd always put the veil back over his face before he spoke the word of the Lord back to the people. And interestingly enough, it talks about how that veil is still upon their hearts. When they physically read the law, they were still covering their face. They'd read the book of Moses in the Old Testament, and the Jews would cover their face. But it said that that veil is still on their heart. That was the Old Testament law, and its end result was glory. In verse chapter 3, verse 9, it said, for if the ministry of condemnation, that's the Old Testament law, the Old Testament law was given so that people would see, we can't do that. We can't follow those 10 simple commandments. We are condemned because I've broken that one and that one and that one and that one. And that's like 40% or 30% or whatever it was. They couldn't get through the 10 commandments. The law was written to bring the condemnation so that they knew, I am not good enough. I can't be good enough to get to heaven. I have to trust in Jesus. I have to trust in God. And it said that the ministry of condemnation be glory. Much more does the ministry of righteousness exceed in glory. That's amazing. If the law is glory, the new law of grace is even more glorious. And I was just like, man, that's pretty cool. Like, just to think that which we sometimes look at negatively, the law of Moses, and it brings condemnation, and that's the Old Testament law that's been done away with, and now we live by the New Testament law and the law of grace. But both brought glory, the law of grace bringing a greater glory. But as I read through the chapter 3 portion, it tied into chapter 4 because it talked about, in verse 13, Moses put a veil over his face. The children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. His glory that he got from being on the mountain with God was for a short period of time, and then it was gone. But even for that short period of time, they couldn't bring themselves to look on it. Verse 14, but their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, the veil in the temple was torn in half from top to bottom. When we believe in Christ, the veil that the God of this world has put over our mind and over our hearts, that veil is also torn. It's symbolic, but it's so true. How many times, I know we've got people sitting here who go out and they soul win. How many times do you go out and you're speaking about the gospel of Jesus Christ to somebody who just doesn't get it? And you can see like scales over their eye or this blank look or hardened look. And all of a sudden you say one word And it's like the scales drop off their eyes and the light comes on of understanding. They're like, whoa, all these years people have been trying to tell me this. And that one thing you just said, I get it. God removes those scales from their eyes. And if you're sitting there and you're witnessing to somebody and you're trying and you're trying and you're trying and you see that scale still there, just a quick prayer. Lord, are you going to remove those scales or should I move on? Move on? Okay. And you move on. Or not. Keep going. This is the night. This is the night those scales are dropped. Fast forward, chapter 4, verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, the ministry of grace, as we have received mercy, we faint not. When we're out there living life, don't faint. Don't grow weary. Don't lose hope. Don't lose heart. Keep going. Keep trying. When it seems like the wickedness of this world is winning, know that it's not. Don't lose heart. Press in. Keep pressing on. Keep praying. Keep preaching. Keep ministering. Keep doing the thing that God's called you to do. Because when you keep pushing, you're going to get a breakthrough. In verse 2, like as I was preparing for this, God just really, he's like, just go through it. Read through one time. Read all the way through, front to back. 2 Corinthians 3, 6 to 4, 15. And then go back and go through it verse by verse. And I'm going to show you that which I want you to focus in on. So in my notes, I've just got it just bullet pointed. Here we go. Verse 2. Here's the main thought there. Verse 2. Our old sin nature is dead in Christ. But having renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. It's that whole, the old sin nature, when we said yes to God and were baptized in Christ, our old sin nature was buried with him. And when it rears its ugly head, just push it down, push it away. Nope, not listening, not dealing with you. You're dead. Dead man walking, not listening. And you keep going forward. The last part of verse 2, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. As a church body, we commend ourselves to every member of the body's conscience. We're held before them, and you are here to check me, and I'm here to check you, and the person to your left and the person to your right. We're all here to check each other's conscience. And when we see a brother or sister kind of maybe stepping out of line a little bit in their walk or in their word, it's okay to pull them aside and say, hey, what's going on? Is everything okay? Can I pray for you? If you've got that relationship, that mentor relationship, it's okay to say, hey, you know what? You're a little out of line right now, and here's how. And bring them to the word of God. Don't just walk in and be like, oh, I'm holier than thou. No, straight to the word. Hey, check this out. I was reading this, and I overheard, and this is, you know, it's okay, but you need to, you know, you're a little off right here. Let's bring it back. Let's bring it back. And if you speak it in love and you've got that relationship with that person, they're going to receive it and they're going to thank you for it. How many of you are driving down the highway and you see a road sign that says right lane closed ahead? How many of you are thankful to know ahead of time, hey, I've got to shift over a lane or I'm going to get stuck? Me personally, I love seeing those signs well in advance. I'd much rather that than to have blinders over my eyes and not have somebody say, hey, did you see that sign that said this lane's closed? You need to move over a lane. And be driving along and just rear end that construction vehicle or that emergency vehicle. Or, hey, there is no road on this side of the road because they're fixing it. I'd much rather have a brother or sister in Christ come to me and say, hey, you missed the sign. Move over. oh man, thank you so much. It was a little off there. Or how many of you driving down the road, tired? New York State put in these awesome things called rumble strips, and you're starting to doze off, and you just drift to the side a little bit, and all of a sudden you're, whoa, I was asleep. I'm glad to have that strip there saying, hey, you're getting a little out of line. When we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God, it's the rumble strip for our life. And they're able to guide us back and say, hey, back in your lane. A little bit further down in verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believeth not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. Literally, until we are saved, the God of this world, Satan, has been given the authority to blind us. And he does. He doesn't want us to know the truth. He doesn't want us to be set free. He wants to deceive us and continue to speak wickedness into our life. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. He doesn't want God's gospel. He doesn't want God's word to be a lamp unto our feet. Because he knows the minute it is, that scale drops off and we become a light to the world and to those around us. So he does his best to try to make sure that doesn't happen. As Christians, we need to do our best to make sure it does happen. We need to be constantly in prayer. Lord, show me the lost sheep that I can rescue today. Show me my lost neighbor, my lost coworker, my lost student, my lost fill in the blank. Show me the one, Lord, that I can speak to. Give me the words to speak it, that they be set free. Steamrolling right along. How many of you heard a Christian group called Jars of Clay? A few. They were kind of cutting edge when I was a teenager. They were alternative Christian grunge, and they were pretty edgy, and a lot of people debated whether it was even Christian music. But we find the context for their name right here in 2 Corinthians 4. In verse 7, in the Old King James, it said, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Other translations, they actually call it jars of clay. God's put this truth, the gospel of grace, and he's put it in earthen vessels. You, me, jars of clay. We were made from dust. We are earthen vessels. We're not perfect. We're not even lovely in one sense. You know, how many people put a clay pot on the table and just like, wow, that plain earthen clay pot is so beautiful. If you put the clay pot next to a crystal vase, most people are going to pick the crystal vase over the clay pot. But God chose to put the gospel of truth in an earthen vessel. Why? So that we can't say, look at me, this is of me, that God's giving me this, I'm special, I'm unique, look at me. No, we walk through humility and we say, I am nothing, he is everything. This truth that we speak, it's not from me. It's not because I'm wise, it's not because I'm all-knowing, it's not because I'm the sharpest tool in the shed. It's because Jesus revealed himself to me. And now I share that same with you. When we put ourselves in a place of humility, God puts us in a place of honor. He raises us up. When we seek to raise ourselves up, God puts us in our place. And he reminds us just how fragile and frail we are and where the glory belongs. God doesn't want any mistake to be made when people look at and they say, you're different. Yes, but I didn't used to be. This is why I'm different. Look what God has done in my life. I used to be just like you, and then God came into my life and he changed me, and he can change you too. Not me. I'm not different. I'm not special. God in me is the difference. God in me is special. I think about Life Song where I work. Every once in a while, we get the state auditors come in and they look for fault. And one auditor in particular comes in regularly. And the last audit he did, he went to my boss, Phil. And I said, Phil, of all the organizations that I come in and audit, in all the years I've been doing this, I've never gone through an audit and not found fault. And my boss, Phil, he's like, okay, waiting for the hammer to drop. And he goes, but your company's different. You have a perfect audit. I couldn't find anything wrong. You guys are excellent in everything that you do. And the state came in and they said, we want to shoot a video and a promotional video, and we want all the programs in New York to model after your program. We want them to be like you. And a lot of the staff just chuckled when we heard it because they're not allowed to be like us, because they're not allowed to talk about God. They're not allowed to love people with God's love. You can't take the element of God out of Life Song and still have an effective, excellent model. You have a state model, which is just not going to work. But we constantly point the glory back when we can and to whom we can at Life Song. We constantly point the model back to, it's not Life Song, it's God in Life Song. And as Christians, we need to be the same way. It's not me, it's not Greater Grace Community Church of Malta, it's Christ in Greater Grace Community Church of Malta. It's Christ in me that makes me different and makes me stand out. Verses 8 through 12, if you read through those just quietly as I'm talking, you'll see trials and persecution and the world pressing in and pressing down on why? For God's glory. When you're going through a tough time, you can return to those verses and be encouraged. We are troubled on every side, yet we are not distressed. We're not stressed out when the world is pressing in. We don't get stressed out. We hit our knees and we turn to God. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. We are not depressed. We don't always understand what's going on, but we don't let us affect it. Don't let it affect our minds. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. When you feel like you're being persecuted in the world, know that God is right there beside you. The world hates us because it hates him, and he is in us. We're cast down, but we're not destroyed. You know, all of these things that we go through so that God may be glorified and so that we may have testimony in him. People can argue, and in our current culture, I dare say people love to argue, even if they have nothing to argue about. They can argue the scriptures, and they can point to this thing or that thing that they read on the internet. Because, you know, everything you read on the internet is the gospel truth. But when you say, listen to what God has done in my life, I was this, and he came into my life, and now I am this. I was addicted, and I'm set free. I was broken, and I am made whole. I was lame, and now I walk. I was blind, and now I see. I was abused, and now I'm healed. Whatever the case may be, they can't argue with your testimony. They don't know you. And how are they going to argue with what God did in your life? When you go through these trials and these persecutions and the stress, it produces a greater faith, and it produces God's glory shining through you as he strips away every layer of who you are as a human being, and he takes away every reason you can say, oh man, I was down to my last, but then I really dug deep and I grabbed myself by the bootstraps and I pulled myself up and I did it. He pushes us down and he persecutes and he puts the trial, he allows it until we can say, I was beat down and God lifted me up. I was anxious and God set me free. We put the glory to God when he strips it all away. Then we have a testimony that will change the world. Verse 13. I don't remember the original translation I was reading through when I wrote my notes, but the way it was said was, I believed and so I spoke. When we have something to believe in and it reaches into our inner core and we write it on the tablets of our heart, you can't have revelation of truth that goes to your inner core of who you are and takes root and grows and then keep quiet. You have to tell somebody about it. I believe, and so I spoke. A simple formula. I read the Bible, I believed, and I told people about it. The full verse says, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. When we have a belief in something, when God reveals his truth to us, we believe it, and we truly understand it deep down, we're compelled to speak to others about it so that they can be changed and set free also. If you've walked through something that's troubled you for years upon years upon years, and you come across a verse in the Bible and you read it, and suddenly it makes sense, God reveals a fresh word and a fresh understanding to you, and you go, wow, I get it. I understand that. And that thing, whatever it is, whether it's a need to be perfect, whether it's a need to please others, whether it's whatever it is, when that thing is revealed to you in scriptures, the truth is revealed in scriptures, and it sets you free from that, and you're going on your way, and you come across somebody else, a brother or a sister in Christ who's going through the same thing, you're not going to hide it and say, this is just for me, this is my special truth. No, because you love them, you're going to speak the truth into their life too. And you're like, you're not going to believe this, but look what I read. Check this out. Look what God's word says. You and I have been going through this together for so long, but look, this is what the word says about it, and this is what it means, and you can be set free. God set me free. I mean, need I say more about that? Like, it's simple. People make the gospel out to be a mystery and to be like a complex thing that's hard to understand. And to the world it is, because they have the blinders on their eyes. But once you get it, you're like, wow, this is life-changing, and it's simple, and it's easy, and it's believable. Verse 15 says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God, for which cause we faint not, but through our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. the source of our joy. Sunday morning, I spoke about joy briefly. The source of our joy is Jesus. The source of our hope is in verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall leave us in the grave to perish forever and ever. Amen. No, that is not what the word says. Just checking to see if you're still awake. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. This world is not the end. This world is not the Garden of Eden. It is not paradise. It is not what we want or what we desire. Heaven is. We have the hope, knowing that we already have been raised up and are sitting before the throne of God. We know that it's just an eventuality that we're waiting for to happen. I am compelled as I read through the Bible and as I watch the news and as I listen to the culture around us, I am compelled to share that which has set me free with those around me. Why? Because this world is rotten. This world is awful. And I don't know about you. I know there are people who love cold weather. I know there are people who love winter. Man, I'm not one of them. Bring on summer. Bring on a perfect even temperature that is just comfortable all the time. Bring on God's fullness of glory. Through reading the word, through worshiping him, we've had just a fraction of God's glory revealed to us. We can't handle the fullness of his glory right now. It says in the Bible that none can look upon the glory of the face of God and live. I want to look on the face of God and live. I want to tell others about him. I want to see my neighbors set free and walking in spirit and in truth. I long for that day when somebody somewhere reveals truth to a man or woman and prays with them, Father, forgive me, for I am a sinner. Thank you for sending your son to die on the cross for me. Cleanse me from my sin, Lord, that I may be with you one day in paradise. Amen. And then a trumpet blast. Oh, what a glorious day. One of my grandma and grandpa Sutton, one of their favorite hymns, old hymn, and he walks with me in the garden each day. Think about what Adam and Eve gave up when they took a bite of the fruit. They walked daily with God in the garden. I love gardening. How much more awesome would it be if I were doing it side by side with Jesus? So I'm compelled to tell others the good news, the gospel of grace, the gospel of truth. Lord, shine your light through us, that your truth may be revealed unto a lost and perishing world. Remove the blinders from their eyes and from their hearts, Lord, that they may be set free and come into an eternal rest with you, knowing that they are safe. That no matter what is going on in the world, their soul will forever be alive. God, I pray as we go tonight that you would continue to reveal yourself to us throughout the evening, and that you would keep our eyes open for the opportunities that we have to show love to the world around us, whether it be through something we do or something we say, or in some cases, the things we don't do or don't say. let the lost souls be saved. For the ski rally that's coming up this weekend, Lord, we pray that your blessing would be upon it, for the details to run smooth and for souls to be saved. And Lord, never thought I would pray this, but Lord, fresh powder on the mountain. In Jesus' name, amen.